As I'm sure you know, the Bible is the inspired word of God. Men put together the divisions of chapters and divisions of verses. When they wrote this, they didn't write, well, this is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. He just wrote a letter. And so often the thoughts are broken up, and in this case, the thought of 12, verse 1 and 2 is really part of chapter 11. Hopefully that makes sense. Let's bow our heads before we begin the reading of the word. Father, we thank you, God, for this day, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that there were so many that even are praising you for the time of prayer that we had, Lord. I pray that you would just continue to do what you have begun in this place, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I ask you that you would empower your word, Lord, to be meaningful to each and every person here under the sound of it. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen. So verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And we'll stop right there. We see the first word of verse 1, it says, "Therefore." Well, "therefore" refers to something. You don't just say "therefore" without having something to look back on. And so what he's saying is, in light of Hebrews chapter 11, and we know that Hebrews chapter 11 talks about all the great men and women, not all of them, but many of the great men and women of faith throughout the Bible. And so he's saying, in light of all of these people who showed such great faith, in light of all of those situations, in light that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And he's saying, if you've accepted the Lord, if you've become a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, you're part of this cloud of witnesses. You're part. This is what we've stepped into. We've stepped into something that is supernatural. We've stepped into the place where people are supposed to have faith, and supposed to have strong faith, and these are what's all around us. We are to look to the examples of what they have provided for us, whether they're in Scripture, and we know many people, even in our lives, that have had that great faith. And so that's what he's referring to. "Therefore, we're surrounded by all these people. We know what they've done. We've seen what they've done. We've seen what they've endured. So therefore, let us have an attitude." And we see that all the people that have gone before us, none of them have had easy lives, it seems. They've all had struggles. They've all had things to overcome. So it's no surprise that we have the same thing. They didn't overcome. It doesn't say that they overcame through their vast intelligence or their vast knowledge or their vast amount of money or their vast amount of connections or all the things that they're able to do in themselves. It says that they've overcome by faith. This is what they've overcome. They've overcome their problems by having faith. And this is our example. It goes on to say, let us lay aside every weight and every sin. A weight is not necessarily something that is sinful. He separates them. Let's lay aside every weight. Let's lay aside every sin. But a weight to someone who's running makes the race harder to run. It's not necessarily sinful, but it does make the race harder to run. When you see runners, you don't see them with big rucksacks on their back, you know, 50 pounds of rocks on their back. No, you don't see it. They lay aside every weight because they want to run as efficiently as possible. They don't want any extra weight. The same thing if you race cars. You don't want an extremely heavy car. You want to pare it down as much as you can because you don't want the extra weight. You don't want the power that is in you to be going towards moving forward the extra weight. You want it to be efficiently moving you forward. So you lay aside every weight. You don't want the extra weight. It's not something that's necessarily sinful, but it's something that could drag you down. It's something that could pull you down. While we're running this race of faith, there are many things, not necessarily that are bad things, but they could hinder us. They could make it a little harder for us to run the race of faith. Maybe it's just things that are out of balance in our life. They could be good things, but they're out of balance in our lives. Maybe we're on that internet all the time. Maybe we're on that, and because it's out of balance, we're focused more on one thing. Or maybe it's some other habit. Maybe we're watching TV all the time and that's all we do. And these aren't bad things necessarily. But if they're out of balance, then they are a weight. Not a sinful thing, but a weight that could weigh you down when you're trying to keep your eyes on the Lord. I remember that season in our life, that 1 month or 3 weeks before I had that operation, boy, every weight was gone. It took something so drastic and so dramatic to demonstrate that in my life. Because now it was like, okay, we really need to run this race. This is life or death. So everything was gone. There was no extraneous things that would detour us from looking to God. It was an example to me in my life of the weights that are there. And I even remember after a couple of weeks, you know, just kind of being tired of just the constant praying and the constant reading the Word and the constant meditating. I mean, the mind was getting overloaded. And I remember turning on the TV just for like a half an hour, and I remember actually feeling that my mind was getting pulled away, and I had never even experienced something like that. I'm not saying TV is bad. I don't want you to 20 years from now, you know, your kids be telling me, oh, the preacher said TV is bad. I'm not saying that. Out of balance, almost anything could turn into a weight. We have to be on guard for what's a weight in our lives. What might be a weight in your life might not be at all for someone else. Just because the way God has made us, and He's made us all different. So something that might be troublesome to me might be no problem to you. This is an individual thing, but we must be looking to God to say, is this something that you want in my life? In this quantity, in this fashion. One other thing that I remember that certainly could be a weight is all the statistics and all the knowledge and all the learning that's out there. It's good. I'm a fan of knowledge. I love knowledge. Whenever I just seem to be wired that way. I like to learn things, so I'm not saying anything bad about knowledge. But I know this. That when we're facing some things, there's always some statistics out there. Well, 34% of the people don't recover in this, and 15% of the people end up with this symptom, and 20% of the people end up with this, and it becomes a weight. And we begin to trust more in the statistics than we do in our faith in God. Well, how is it going to happen for me if 80% of the people end up with this problem? How is it going? How is God going to help me if 90% of the people face this? It becomes a weight. It becomes a weight in your faith. Very often. I'm not saying we shouldn't be informed. We should be informed. But when it becomes a weight to our faith, the Bible says, lay it aside. Lay it aside. I also remember, if we, God just actually, and I know I've told you this before, God just didn't even bring to our minds, or my mind, to look up what could be when I went through my surgery. And I'm so thankful that I never went there. I am so thankful. If I would have heard all the stories of what could have been, oh my goodness, it was horrible. I mean, I hear them now and it's like, this is horrible. I was struggling to keep my concentration on God for every little thing. If I would have heard there's people that can't walk straight and bumping into walls and just bleeding spontaneously and, you know, all these other things, there was 1,000 things that could go wrong, and the paralysis and everything else, it would have been so much more difficult to have faith, to believe that this was not going to happen to me. It would have been a weight. And the Bible says, lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance. You see, it's a race. It's a race. And a race means it has a finish line. And we've put many false finish lines along the way. Very often, we race to something which we think is going to bring us happiness. And then when we get it, it's the finish line, we think, well, and we realize, well, it's not really what I expected. It's not really bringing me the happiness that I thought it was going to bring me. We have the second home, and we have the cars, and we have the boats, and we have whatever else, and it's like, well, they're not bringing me the happiness that I thought. It was this false finish line that we raced to. And again, none of these things are bad, but we run a race of faith. We run a race of faith, and we run towards one thing. We run towards one thing. We run. We run this race towards Christ-likeness. We run this race to become more like Christ each and every day. We're running in that direction. We're running to have faith in our God, our Savior, Christ Jesus. This is our goal. And we have weights that we can put aside. And sometimes I want to distinguish between a weight and a season, because sometimes things come along and we can't really get rid of them. Sometimes there are seasons in our lives where things just escalate and we can't necessarily get rid of them. I remember I went through a season of about 8 years of work. That's a long season, where it was just constant pressure and constant instability and constant never knowing what the schedule is going to be, because there's so much instability. You have to work late. You have to do this. You have to adjust. You have to work early. You have to do all these things. And that was a season in my life. I prayed as hard as I could to have it go away. It wouldn't go away. And so I realized, okay, this is a season. And those times, it's not necessarily a wait because we have to do these things, but it's a season. And in that season, God is testing us to see, where is our focus? Is our focus going to be on Him through this difficult season and through this difficult time in our lives? We can't lay it aside, even if we wanted to lay it aside. I wanted to lay it aside. I couldn't lay it aside. But it's a season. And in that season, God is looking, where is your gaze? Where are you looking? Are you looking to him? He says, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So in those difficult seasons, We are to look to God and realize where we're at and continue, because we're being tested in those times. We're being tested to see who we're trusting in, where our faith is. The race is not a sprint. The race is usually more like a marathon, because he says we need to run it with endurance. You never say we endure something that's over quickly. Endurance implies time, and endurance implies that we have to go through things over a period. You never hear somebody say, "Oh man, I endured that. It was the worst 10 minutes of my life." It's because it's not enduring anything. You don't use it. It's an endurance. It implies something that's long and over time, when we have to endure something. And it says these things, these weights and these sins, they could easily ensnare us. An ensnarement is something that, it's a trap. It's something that comes up, and it comes up suddenly and unexpected. And very often the weights and the sins that easily beset us, they start out as harmless. And then they become habits. And then after they become habits, then they become just part of our life. And all of a sudden a year goes by and 2 years goes by, and it becomes so ingrained in what you do. Then all of a sudden you look back and you say, "Wow, I don't know how this happened to me, but it's happened." And it's an ensnarement. It might start out as something small. It might start out as something no problem. But then in your life or in my life, we look back and we say, "How? How did it happen? I seem to be trapped in this pattern. I seem to be trapped doing this all the time, even though I didn't necessarily think it would get out of control. Now it's out of control and I seem to be ensnared in these things." Well, that's exactly what a trap is. That's exactly what a trap is. It's there. It's hidden. It's something. It's something that could sneak up on you. A trap that's in the open is not a very good trap. An ensnarement that's easy to see is not a very good trap. But weights and sins in our life, little practices. "Well, I won't come to church every week." It's okay. It's okay, you know. And then all of a sudden, a week turns into 2 weeks, turns into a month, and then, or 2 months, and all right, well, and then you look back, and it's like, this is my pattern. Little things turn into big things. Things that are out of balance. It could be anything. It could be the watching of sports, and where you have to see and you have to, you know, you're so tied to it that it's out of balance. It's not bad, but if it's out of balance, anything could get this way. We must endure. We must endure. We must wait. And actually, we see very often that God requires that waiting time. No one likes it, but that doesn't seem to bother God. He seems to require it many times. You have to wait. You have to endure. Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about the armor of God, it says that we must put on the armor of God so that we might stand in the evil day. So that we might stand in the evil day. And having done all, we're to stand.
Many times when we've done all, when we've prayed, and when we've put it before God, and when we've obeyed whatever we believe Him telling us that we are supposed to do, then the Bible says, then you're just supposed to stand. When you've done everything, when you've tried and you've rebuked it and you've prayed and you've fasted and you've done all things, when you've exhausted and you've quoted the scripture and you have it on your heart and you're meditating, and when you've done all these things and yet it still doesn't go away, the Bible says when you've done all and it's still not gone, then your job is to stand. Then your job is to just stand. We are to then have patience. Then we are to have endurance. Because we've done everything. We have the armor of God on. We've done whatever the Bible tells us. And still it remains. Then the Bible says stand. Stand in this. Stand in the situation. Look around to the cloud of witnesses. Look what they've went through. And if that's not enough, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, what He went through. Because it says, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Even Jesus, who we could say had great faith, had to endure. The Bible tells us when you think you're going to be overwhelmed, look to Jesus. The one who had great faith. The one who had faith that could raise the dead. He even suffered on the cross. The one who said, if this cup could pass from me. But then he said, not my will, but your will be done. He had to endure certain things, even though he, above all of us, had great faith. You see, God's been revealing to me, even, and if you read through Hebrews chapter 11, and I preached on this on a Tuesday night, not too long ago, God put that before my heart, that faith has two different, faith is complicated, it has many different categories, but we're going to just talk about two of them. One, the faith that everybody wants is the faith that gets answers. Everybody wants that. This is the one that's exalted in our day and age. The faith that prays and sees the miracle right away. This is exalted in our lives. It's exalted on television. It's exalted in all the Christian programming. And amen, it should be. But then there's another faith. There's another faith which just has to endure and keep our eyes on Jesus. This faith, the faith that Jesus had as He went to the cross. Does God have a good plan for me? Yes. Have faith in that, even though you have to endure something difficult. There are two different kinds of faith that we're talking about here. Not just the one that gets answers all the time, but the faith that endures through the difficulty. The faith that keeps our eyes on Jesus no matter what's coming. The faith that believes God loves us no matter what's happening. The faith that believes that God has a good plan for us no matter what's happening or what has happened. This is the faith that He's also talking about here. The faith that helps us to endure. The faith that leaves us focused on God when all else is not getting us through the issue. If you read through Hebrews chapter 11, it says many great things about those who obtained the request that they desired. It talks about all the old fathers of faith, but then it talks about a whole bunch of people who didn't get what they wanted, who didn't get what they were promised even.
There's two different places in Hebrews chapter 11. I have it right before me. It says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. This is Hebrews 11:35. I'll just read it to you. It says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. So others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. Of whom the world is not worthy. Because they kept their eyes on Jesus regardless of what happened to them. Sawn in two, tortured. This is not the story of a victorious faith that we will see on television. We will not see those things on television. But the Bible says that those who have this kind of faith and still trust in Jesus, they are not worthy of this world. The world is not worthy of them, is actually what it says. The world is not worthy of those who can actually go through all of the difficulties and still keep their eyes on Jesus. We are to run with endurance